The headlines this hour. Joe Biden continues his Iranophobic rhetoric, accusing Tehran of destabilizing activities in West Asia. The first escalation between Israel and Palestinian resistance forces in Gaza, hours after the U.S. president leaves the occupied territories. And Ukraine reports heavy Russian attacks on several of its cities, leaving at least 34 people dead. Well, welcome to our studios here in the capital, Tehran. This is News. Thanks for joining us. The U.S. President Joe Biden has once again accused Iran of what he calls destabilizing activities in West Asia.
A great deal has changed since I visited this region when I served as Vice President of the United States, both on the world stage and in the Middle East. Around the world, we're seeing efforts to undermine the rules-based order. With China's increasingly coercive actions in the Indo-Pacific and beyond, with Russia's brutal and unprovoked war against its neighbor in Ukraine, with Iran's destabilizing activities here in the Middle East, we've also seen critical changes.
Biden, who was in Saudi Arabia as part of his West Asia tour, made the remarks while addressing the GCC Plus 3 summit in Jeddah. He stressed the U.S. will remain as an active player in the region and will not walk away to leave a vacuum to be filled by China, Russia, or Iran. Addressing the summit, Qatar's Emir Sheikh Tamim bin Hamad Al Thani blamed Israel for regional instability. He slammed the regime for its illegal settlements across the occupied Palestinian territories, years-long blockade of Gaza, and attempts to change the demography of Al-Quds. Iran has also time and again stressed that the U.S. is the root cause of instability in the region. Tehran believes sustainable peace and stability could be achieved only through cooperation among regional countries. Activist and political commentator Masoud Shajar believes the U.S. is the main source of instability, not only in West Asia, but also across the world.
United States has been destabilizing factor, not just in Middle East, but right across the world. Every destability in the region has been designed and instigated and indeed put to practice by United States of America. Millions of people in Middle East and beyond have died as a direct result of the instability of United States and its Western allies and indeed NATO. What have they done in Afghanistan? I mean, for God's sake, after many years of instability and destruction, and the destruction of whole of the infrastructure, they put their tails between their legs and walked out. And what they did, the last gift they give to Afghanistan, was steal their money and leave them in the chaos and in economic ruin. The reality is that what they did in Iraq, what they did in Libya and everywhere else is a testimony to death and destruction and chaos. For them to do what they're doing in Yemen, killing ordinary innocent people, being party to war crimes identified by United Nations and everyone else, and then to give speeches like that.
Palestinian resistance movement Hamas has reacted to the latest Israeli airstrikes on the Gaza Strip, calling them another crime committed against Palestinians. The Hamas spokesman Hassan Qassam said the bombardment of Gaza and the intimidation of innocent people are part of Tel Aviv's atrocities and terrorist behavior. He stressed that Israel will not be able to shatter Palestinians' will and resistance despite all of its terrorist tools and U.S. backing. He said Palestinian people and groups will press ahead with their resistance until the Israeli regime is forced out of the occupied territories. Early on Saturday, Israel hit Gaza, saying the attack targeted Hamas military positions in response to rockets fired from the territory. A correspondent in Gaza, Ashraf Shannon, says Israel fired at least a dozen rockets into the besieged territory, causing explosions.
The amount of rockets that were fired by the Israeli regime were very high. At least 12 rockets were fired, and loud explosions were heard all over the Gaza Strip. This Israeli attack is the first time in 1 month, and it's the first time to happen under the leadership of acting Israeli Prime Minister Yair Lapid. The failure of the Iron Dome interception system to intercept one of the rockets, that's 50% failure. And I think this is a message by resistance groups firing the rockets to in reaction to the visit by U.S. President Joe Biden, who on the first leg of his trip to the Israeli regime visited one of the factories that manufacture the Iron Dome missile interception system, and this shows you 50% failure of such systems. Last year, during the Sword of Al-Quds battle, the failure almost reached 80%. As more rockets being fired, the failure of the system increases.
Several Ukrainian cities report heavy Russian attacks, the latest in a series of hits by Moscow in recent weeks using long-range missiles. Kiev says that at least 34 civilians have been killed in the last 3 days. Russian missiles struck central cities of Dnipro and Vinnytsia while prompting warning sirens in the capital, Kiev. Russia has repeatedly denied targeting civilians. It says the strike in Vinnytsia hit a building where top Ukrainian officials were meeting with arms suppliers. Meanwhile, Kiev says the counterstrikes on Russian military logistics centers in recent weeks have reduced Moscow's offensive potential. Ukraine says Western weapons, including U.S.-made HIMARS rocket systems, are having an impact on the battlefield and could change the war's dynamic. A sizable number of lawmakers blame the West's aggressive foreign policy towards Moscow for the cost-of-living crisis currently impacting EU citizens. The 27-nation bloc is facing an energy crisis after cutting off oil imports from Russia over the conflict in Ukraine. Jerome Hughes has more from Brussels.
A debate in the European Parliament has heard that 22% of people in the EU are struggling to make ends meet. That's almost 100 million citizens who are counting every cent. Apparently, sending weapons to Ukraine is not the answer.
The best way to deal with the cost of living crisis is to stop prolonging the war. The people of Europe favour peace, even well above punishing Russia.
EU financial markets are in turmoil. There are calls for the introduction of a windfall tax.
Energy prices and food prices are going through the roof. Capitalists make profits by speculating on markets and thereby hurting millions of households.
Members of the public have been talking to us about the current state of the EU's economy.
It's terrifying to see that our free market is like collapsing. All the money that we are going to send to Ukraine, then we will have to need this money, and where we are going to take this money from.
The head of the European Commission, Ursula von der Leyen, has been singled out for criticism in the European Parliament.
We turn now about the increase of cost of living in the European Union, which is just a result of the insane and unsound policies promoted by the European Union since Ursula von der Leyen took office.
There have been calls for greater solidarity between EU member states to deal with the cost of living crisis.
In order to make sure that we are not at the end dividing Europe in those who are able to help and those who have more difficulties.
On sanctions against Russia, Hungarian Prime Minister Viktor Orban has said, quote, "Initially I thought that we had only shot ourselves in the foot, but now it is clear that the EU economy has shot itself in the lungs and is gasping for air." Many here agree. Jerome Hughes at the European Parliament, Brussels.
Iran's top rights official Kazem Gharibabadi has slammed the UN Special Rapporteur on Human Rights in Iran for hailing the life sentence handed to Iranian national Hamid Nouri by a Swedish court. Nouri was arrested in 2019 over allegations of human rights violations against members of the MKO terrorist group. He was sentenced in what Iran calls an unfair trial by an incompetent court. The U.S. has once again accused Iran of planning to send several hundred combat drones to Russia to be used in the Ukraine war. The White House National Security Advisor says that a Russian delegation visited an airfield in central Iran at least twice in June to examine drones capable of carrying precision-guided missiles. Earlier this week, Jake Sullivan also claimed that Iran is training Russian forces in using the drones. On Friday, Iran's foreign minister rejected such allegations as baseless and aimed at advancing Washington's political goals. Hossein Amir Abdullahian says that Tehran will not do anything to prolong the Russia-Ukraine war. Instead, it will spare no effort to help end the conflict. Iran's foreign ministry has updated a sanctions list of former and current U.S. officials who support the anti-Tehran MKO terror group. The blacklisted individuals include former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo and the former White House National Security Advisor John Bolton, who have attended the terror group's meetings. Senator Ted Cruz and Senator Bob Menendez are also among the 61 persons sanctioned. The ministry says sanctions must be enforced in line with an Iranian law. The legislation aims to counter U.S. regional adventurism and the violations of human rights. Albania's police and courts are providing widespread support for the anti-Iran MKO terrorist group, which is based in that country. That's according to Olsi Zhezekci, who is an Albanian journalist and historian. The journalist said in a series of connected tweets that the MKO members who want to abandon the terror outfit are terrorized, intimidated, and jailed. The journal says police raid the homes of defectors upon orders from the group's leaders and the U.S. Embassy in Albania. The terrorist cult launched a campaign of bombings and assassinations in Iran, mostly in the 1980s. It has enjoyed freedom of activity in the West since being delisted by the EU and the U.S. in 2009 and 2012. Iranian authorities hold the MKO or MEK responsible for the death of more than 17,000 people in Iran. Editor of Veterans Today Kevin Barrett says it is shameful and hypocritical of the West to sponsor and to arm the MKO terrorist group, which is responsible for the death of several thousand Iranians.
It's really curious because we're living in an era in which so-called terrorism has been systematically demonized, and the United States has proclaimed that it's supposedly leading a global war on terror that will never end, inaugurated, of course, by the false flag events of September 11th, 2001. It's really strange because this, if any group on earth deserves to be targeted and disbanded forcibly, it's this group. They're completely out of control. And it's shameful that the West has been sponsoring these people and arming them and helping them organize and giving them sanctuary in a number of countries so that they can plan these acts of violence. And they're not even hiding the fact that they are violent, that they're not committed to any kind of open society values whatsoever. So once again, the hypocritical West, which pretends to be in favor of liberal values and free press and so on and so forth, is actually supporting this group that murders 17,000 people in Iran and attacks journalists and basically is running around like another Jim Jones, Jonestown kind of group, except instead of having to run off to Guyana, they're being put up in the best kinds of places across Europe. So it's completely shameful and it's bizarre. And it would be funny if people weren't suffering so badly from it.
The International Committee of the Red Cross says Yemeni women and children are dying on a daily basis due to poor health care services in the war-torn country. Abdul Latif al-Washali has more from Sana'a.
Despite the UN brokered truce, the consequences of the Saudi-led war are still taking the lives of Yemeni women and children. A recent report by the International Committee of the Red Cross says a mother and six newborns die every 2 hours in Yemen of complications that occur during pregnancy and causes that can be avoided in normal circumstances.
There is a severe shortage of medical supplies and medicines, as well as a significant increase in the prices of medicines, which has led to the deterioration of health services not only in the countryside, but even in main cities.
We as gynecologists have noticed a significant increase in the number of abortions, especially premature abortions in the early stages of pregnancy. Therefore, we hope to conduct studies that will reveal to us the reason and whether or not the prohibited weapons used by the Saudi-led coalition contributed to this tragedy.
The committee says the numbers are likely to increase due to a lack of health services or poor care provided, especially amid a shortage of funding for the United Nations programs in Yemen, as well as the termination of aid related to reproductive health and mother and child health.
The deteriorating economic situation has increased malnutrition among mothers, which has had a negative impact on newborns. The blockade of Yemen, which has kept medicines and medical supplies from entering the country, has resulted in an increase in death recently, and there are indications that the abortion rate has increased.
Recently, most of the United Nations programs, including the World Food Program, announced the suspension of their humanitarian activities in Yemen due to a lack of funding, as well as the consequences of the Russia-Ukraine war.
Yemen health officials say 19 million Yemenis lack access to health care. They say it is a shame for the international community to abandon Yemeni women and the children who have been paying the highest price since the beginning of the Saudi-led war in Yemen. Abdul Latif Al-Washali, Sana'a.
And that is it for this edition of World News. It's bye-bye for now.
From the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
The Ocean of Dua.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين Hello everyone, brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi with you with another edition of the program, The Ocean of Dua. In this edition of the program, we'll have a glance at Kumail's supplication and we'll discuss a commentary on that. We'll be back in a few seconds, so stay tuned. وليت شعري يا سيدي وإلهي ومولاي أتسلط النار على وجوه خرت لعظمتك ساجدة وعلى ألسن نطقت بتوحيدك صادقة بشكرك مادحة وعلى قلوب اعترفت بإلهيتك محققة وعلى ضمائر حوت من العلم بك حتى صارت خاشعة وعلى جوارح سعت إلى أوطان تعبدك طائعة وأشارت باستغفارك مذعنا.
Dear listeners, as you have been previously with us, the part of the Kumail supplication under discussion was this, as Imam Ali alayhi salam says, وَلَيْتَ الشِّعْرِي يَا سَيِّدِي وَإِلَهِي وَمَوْلَيْ Would that I knew my master, my Allah and my protector. أَتُسَلِّقُ النَّارَ عَلَى وُجُوهٍ خَرَّتْ لِعَظَمَتِكَ سَاجِدَ Will you give the fire dominion over the faces fallen down, prostrating before your greatness? وَعَلَىٰ أَلْسُنٍ نَطَقَتْ بِتَوْحِيدِكَ صَادِلَ Or the tongues voicing sincerely the profession of your oneness, وَبِشُكْرِكَ مَادِحَ And giving thanks to you in praise. We said earlier on that the most comprehensive worship is prayer. And we will try to have a look at some of the traditions over the importance of completing this great worship. The true servant who has realized and experienced the pleasure of the love of Allah will not choose anything and anyone over him. And the reason behind the difference of the people in relation to their goals and views about life is that they are sometimes deprived of the pleasure of the love of Allah. Otherwise, those who have experienced such a pleasure do not seek anything else in life after this. And that is why we have been recommended to give our full attention to Salat, performing it in the most suitable way. إذا قمت إلى الصلاة وتوجهت وقرأت أم الكتاب وما تيسر من السور ثم ركعت فأتممت ركوعها وسجودها وتشهدت وسلمت غفر لك كل ذنب فيما بينك وبين الصلاة التي قدمتها إلى الصلاة المؤخرة. The Holy Prophet says, when you stand up for prayer, when you stand toward Qibla, when you recite the first Quranic chapter, which is Surah Al-Fatiha, and any other Quranic chapter you could, then perform the ruku' and sajda, followed by tashahud and salam. غُفِرَ لَكَ كُلُّ ذَنْبٍ فِيمَا بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَ الصَّلَاةِ. All your sins, before your prayer and until your next prayer, would be forgiven. Why is it that the Holy Prophet ﷺ gives utmost importance, gives this great benefit for just performing salah? This is because it shows the true love of Allah. As-salatu qurbanu kulli taqi. Because it makes you closer to the proximity. It makes you closer to His mercy. Prayer makes every pious servant close to Allah. That's why it is said, أُوصِيكُم بِالصَّلَاةِ وَحِفْظِهَا فَإِنَّهَا خَيْرُ الْعَمَلِ. I recommend you to perform prayer and keep on it. فَإِنَّهَا خَيْرُ الْعَمَلِ وَهِيَ عَمُودُ دِينِكُمْ. It is the best deed. It is the base of your religion.
I wish I had known, O my Master, my God and my Lord, will you inflict fire upon faces which have submissively bowed in your prostration to your greatness, or upon the tongues which have sincerely confirmed your unity and have always expressed gratitude to you, or upon hearts which have acknowledged your divinity with conviction, or upon the minds which accumulated so much knowledge of you until they became submissive to you, or upon the limbs which strove to the places appointed for your worship, to adore you willingly and seek your forgiveness submissively. Such harshness is not expected from you, as it is far from your grace. O generous one, O Lord, you are aware of my weakness to bear even a minor affliction of this world and its consequence and adversity, although such afflictions are momentary, short-lived and transient.
Thank you, Allah. So good about all the things that we went through, knowing that God is pleased with us too. It's not a dream, this is so true, and we know we'll be here forever. The feeling is indescribable, knowing that this is our reward.
The ocean of dua.
So, the ones who have experienced such a kind of love, the ones who have experienced such a pleasure, will not seek anything else in life, except the sweetness of love of their beloved. In the supplication of Arafah, Imam Hussein alayhi salam says, "What has he found who has lost you? And what has he lost who has found you?" Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam also seeks forgiveness from Allah for every pleasure other than the pleasure of the love of Allah, and for every occupation other than the remembrance of Allah, from every happiness other than that of the proximity to Allah. Not because Allah has prohibited His servants from all this, rather because of the fact that all this is the result of the distraction of one's heart from Allah, and of its occupation with other than His remembrance, even for a short time. Whereas a heart which has experienced the pleasure of love of Allah is never distracted from Him. So, in fact, if we let us put it this way, the dynamic force behind every action, behind every endeavor in life, specifically in the life of friends of Allah, is that love of the Allah, the Exalted, is His remembrance and His obedience. Anything beside this is seen as a kind of diversion from Allah. That is why Imam Sajjad alayhi salam seeks Allah's forgiveness for all this and says, "I pray forgiveness from you for every pleasure other than that of your remembrance, and for every ease other than that of intimacy with you, and for every happiness other than that of proximity to you, and for every occupation other than obeying you. But I know you will forgive us. You will not give fire dominion over the minds, over the hearts which have acknowledged your divinity through verification. مَا هَكَذَا ظَنُّ بِكَ. No such opinion is held of you." Thank you for staying with us, dear listeners. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also visit our website at parstoday.com. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
Don't let me go astray, 'cause I need you by my side. I wish to be close to you through half my life. Ya Allah, oh Allah, be with me all the way.
Hello, I'm Mubarak Kenya, and a big welcome to this week's edition of Africa Today.
Stay tuned with Africa Today.
Africa Today.
China has overtaken the United States as the foreign power seen as having the biggest positive influence in Africa by young people. Now, this is according to a survey across 15 major African countries. A young African explains one of the reasons why China is viewed positively in the continent.
China is the manufacturing center of the world. So most of the products that we consume, whether it's in tech or every consumer product, has an origin from China.
Hello, I'm Mubarak Kenya, and a warm welcome to Africa Today, a weekly program that gives you an alternative view of events making headlines in Africa. This week's edition is focusing on reports of China's increasing popularity among young people in Africa, while the United States sees a steep decline of its influence in the continent. The second segment of our show is on Algeria's decision to suspend a 2-decades-old friendship treaty with Spain after Madrid reversed decades of neutrality in the Western Sahara dispute. Our experts will be giving us their incisive analysis on these two subjects.
China overtakes U.S. in Africa. A
A recent survey conducted by the Ichikowitz Family Foundation found that 76% of 4,507 young Africans across 15 countries named China as a foreign power with a positive influence on their lives, compared with 72% for the U.S. In 2020, when the inaugural study of 18 to 24-year-olds was conducted, 83% of respondents saw the U.S.'s influence as positive, while the figure for China was 79%. The results are a clear indicator that in Africa, China is winning the battle against geopolitical rivals such as the U.S. and the European Union.
Beijing has invested heavily into African infrastructure over the past two decades and supplies the continent with affordable consumer goods ranging from mobile phones and solar panels to shovels and plastics. A young Kenyan manager at a Chinese tech company in Nairobi says China brings affordable technology to Africa.
I wasted a lot of research of the consumer needs in Africa, and they're able to bring in a solution just what the consumer requires. So the technology in that China is applying, they bring about very affordable devices, they bring very affordable technology.
Now, for more on the rise of China and the decline of the United States in Africa, we have contacted Lawrence Freeman, a political economic analyst for Africa. Thanks a lot, sir, for your time today.
Glad to be with you.
Now, are you surprised that China has overtaken the U.S. as the foreign power, seen as having the biggest positive influence in Africa among young people?
Not really. I expected as much. There has been really no policy coming from the United States for many decades that actually promotes the sovereignty of nations and the economic development of African nations. And currently, the Biden administration, President Joe Biden, has no policy, none, for Africa. And the default is to do nothing to help the African nations. China is playing a much more positive role, in particular economic development of the nations. And therefore, it is not surprising at all that the young people see China as a more positive influence.
China has gained positive influence in Africa through aid, trade, and investments to kickstart the continent's structural transformation process. Unlike the U.S. and other Western countries, which meddle in the internal affairs of African countries, China maintains a policy of mutual respect. This is the point made by Kenyan President Uhuru Kenyatta while speaking early January at a ceremony in the country's main port city of Mombasa to mark the completion of a Chinese-built oil terminal.
Our partnership with China is not a partnership based on China telling us what we need. It is a partnership of friends working together to meet Kenya's social economic agenda.
What are the main reasons behind China winning the battle against geopolitical rivals such as the U.S. and the European Union for the hearts and minds of Africans?
Most importantly, China has a completely different outlook of how to coordinate policy with other nations, and in particular the African nations. The United States has no policy toward Africa right now, and the Europeans very little. But China wants to develop the work with African nations. It wants to help these nations lift their population out of poverty, which China has done successfully. And therefore, they're making long-term investments in energy, railroads, ports, dams, for the development of these nations. And this is seen positively by Africans and African youth because it can improve their economy, create jobs, improve their standard of living. The United States has no policy, and therefore it's the reason that China is succeeding in winning the hearts and minds of Africans.
Western powers, especially the United States, are peddling the narrative of China's engagement in debt trap diplomacy. Chinese foreign minister has rejected the claims, saying the so-called debt-trap diplomacy is not a fact, but a malicious hype-up by some people.
It is speculation being played out by some with ulterior motives. It's a narration by those who do not want to see development in Africa. If there is any trap, it is poverty and underdevelopment. China would like to welcome other countries friendly towards Africa to eliminate poverty.
China has successfully positioned itself as a major trading partner and investor in Africa, displacing Europe as the most important partner in large infrastructure projects and the exploitation of raw materials. So, it is not just the United States that's been overtaken by China in Africa. The EU has also been compelled to give way to China in the continent. What are some of the main factors behind the negative perception towards Western powers in Africa?
Western powers are still treating Africa as if they were colonies. They tell them what to do. They tell them what they can't do. They tell them what they should do. They're trying to pressure. There's a bill in the Congress, the United States Congress, to pressure African nations not to work with Russia. African nations have been told that they shouldn't be working with China and be taking in this debt, even though the largest amount of debt in African nations still owed to the West. They keep saying that African nations should do this, should do that. You have to follow our model of democracy. You have to carry out our model of human rights.
During the recent Group of Seven summit, leaders unveiled a $600 billion plan to rival China's Belt and Road Initiative. Here's the U.S. president making the announcement.
We're here today because we're making this commitment together as a G7 in coordination with one another to maximize the impact of our work. Collectively, we aim to mobilize nearly $600 billion from the G7 by 2027.
Today, G7 countries and their societies face huge economic challenges, and the declaration by Biden is seen as a tool to show the global audience that the U.S. still retains hegemony. Now, do you think this plan by the G7 will weaken China's growing influence in Africa?
No, not at all. I mean, first of all, going back to the Obama administration, don't forget Xi Jinping announced the Belt and Road in, November 2013, several offers by the Chinese to the Americans to join the Belt and Road were a veto, which was an act of stupidity by the Obama administration. And now, under the Biden administration, they say, well, we're going to rival the Belt and Road. Frankly, it's a fantasy. First of all, they're never going to be able to do it. The China development policy for Africa and other parts of the world, Asia, Latin America, is out of the box. It can't be put back in. The control of the unipolar world by the United States and the West is over. Russia's indicated that in another way. And what the Europeans and Biden had cooked up, I can tell you in advance, is not going to work. It's not going to have a big effect. And there's no way it's going to undermine China. China is here to stay and will soon be the largest economy in the world. And it's because of the West's failure to work with China that we have so many problems.
China is the largest developing country and has gained great experience in alleviating poverty. Beijing has shown it is willing to share its development experience with African countries.
I can say I'm very happy and honored to be among the first batch of female drivers in Kenya. And I've been able to learn so much from the company and from my Chinese teachers.
While most young people in Africa believe China is positively influencing their life, Western media outlets are using isolated incidents to pursue an anti-China narrative in Africa. Now, Mr. Freeman, what should Beijing do to further boost its positive image in Africa?
Well, there is a lot of prejudice, even among my African friends, against China. But it's hard to say exactly where it comes from. There's various forms of propaganda that came out that said China was stealing African resources. That's not true. There is problems of racism, which have been documented in certain countries. I think in the beginning, the Chinese used a lot of their own labor for these projects, which I understand is not the case now. So I think there are lingering problems. All nations have them. But clearly, the pluses of China's involvement with African nations outweighs some of these possibly lingering problems. And therefore, you always look to try to promote the positive.
Well, there you have it. Despite U.S.-led Western propaganda, China is seen as a power with positive influence by most young people in Africa. We'd like to thank our expert today, Lawrence Freeman, our political economic analyst for Africa, for his insight. Now, our next topic is on Algeria's move to suspend a friendship treaty with Spain. But before that, we take a short break, so stay with us.
Algeria suspends friendship treaty with Spain. You're listening to Africa Today. Africa Today is an analytical weekly review of political, economic, and social events in Africa, the world's second largest continent. The series is broadcast every week on Saturdays and Sundays by IRIB English Radio.
Algeria recently suspended a two-decades-old friendship treaty with Spain after Madrid reversed decades of neutrality in the Western Sahara dispute. Spain has publicly recognized an autonomy plan for the Western Sahara put forward by Morocco, which controls 80% of the disputed territory.
This move was the latest blow to increasingly fragile relations between Algiers and Madrid, which depends on Algeria for its natural gas supply. Algeria also suspended foreign trade in products and services with Spain amid the escalating dispute over the status of Western Sahara.
The Spanish Prime Minister has defended his country's agreement with Morocco, saying security and stopping illegal immigrants are a priority for Madrid.
We will proceed to the gradual reopening of the border crossings to ensure an orderly flow of people in complete safety and in compliance with the necessary health requirements, and goods will also flow normally.
Now, for more on the diplomatic spat between Algeria and Spain over the Western Sahara, we have contacted Abdurrahman Mohamed Ahmed, a political activist and a commentator. Thanks a lot, sir, for your time today.
Thank you very much for having me in your show.
Now, was Algeria justified in suspending foreign trade and a friendship treaty with Spain due to the dispute over the status of Western Sahara?
Yes, I believe that Algeria was totally justified in suspending foreign trade as well as the friendship agreement with the government of Spain. The reasons are multiple. Spain was a colonial power, and recently we saw actually that the political behavior of the government of Spain was actually in line with other European countries like French, Britain, who are trying actually to create chaos and destabilization in their former colony in Africa. In line with that, I believe that the position taken by the Algerian government is commendable.
Algeria has long backed the Polisario movement that is seeking independence of the Western Sahara region claimed by Morocco. The Polisario movement, which fought a 15-year war with Morocco after Spanish colonialists withdrew in 1975, is demanding a referendum on independence. Algeria says that Spain's decision to recognize Morocco's plan of granting autonomy to Western Sahara is in violation of its legal, moral, and political obligations. Algeria's foreign minister expounds on his country's position towards Western Sahara.
Algeria reaffirms its support for the right of the Sahrawi people to self-determination, and we call upon the United Nations to assume their legal responsibilities towards the Sahrawi people and guarantee their inalienable rights. The organization of a free and fair referendum in order to enable this courageous people to determine their future and decide on their political future cannot forever be taken hostage by the intransigence of an occupying state.
What are the interests of Algeria in supporting the Polisario movement?
I believe that it's important for the viewer to understand that Western Sahara was occupied and colonized by the Spanish government, and that the proud people, the Sahrawi, actually fought against the Spanish colonization. And when they get rid of actually the Spanish colonization, then immediately after that, and when there was an agreement, especially in the 1975 afterwards, when there was an agreement with Mauritania, which was claiming part of the Western Sahara, that's when actually the monarchy in Morocco, I'm not talking about the people of Morocco, the people of Morocco deserve our respect because we know that they stand also for dignity and justice. But the government, especially the monarchy of Morocco, actually occupied in place of the Spanish colonization, the Western Sahara. And it was normal for Algeria. As I was saying previously, Algeria always stood with the African people for their freedom. So it was normal for the Algerian government to stood with the Polisario.
Spain is in a complicated situation, because while it shares borders and strong economic ties with Morocco, it also depends partly on Algeria for natural gas. Spain's move to publicly recognize Morocco's plan to grant Western Sahara region autonomy is seen by analysts as a way of regaining control of its former colony.
Actually, the Spanish who was colonizing Western Sahara, and when they get kicked out by the resistance, the brave resistance of the Sahrawi people and the Polisario movement, they actually resort to ask the Moroccan monarchy to reoccupy Western Sahara and play the dirty interest, if we can say, of the Spanish colonization.
The European Union urged Algeria to reverse its decision, pressing for dialogue to resolve the dispute. Joseph Borrell, the High Representative of the European Union for Foreign Affairs, says Algeria is an important partner for the EU in the Mediterranean and has expressed hope that a swift solution will be found to fully re-establish commercial and investment relations between Algeria and Spain. Now, do you see a resolution soon, especially considering the fact that Europe needs Algeria's gas in view of the current dispute with Russia over the Ukraine crisis?
The EU position when it comes to Algeria is actually, it only show the arrogance of this former colonizing power. And it's an arrogance actually that doesn't have, because if we remember maybe a hundred years ago, maybe these countries were military powerful. Economically also, they were maybe a strong country, which is not the case today. What we are witnessing, it's actually a proud African country, Algeria, who is actually showing with strength and who is actually calling for dialogue to solve some of the problem, which should be the norm when it comes to international relation. And then you have the EU who actually is threatening Algeria and saying, no, you shouldn't actually call for a dialogue. You should just accept what we are dictating upon you. This will not work.
As Algeria moves away from Spain, it is enhancing ties with Russia amid the Ukraine conflict. Algiers abstained during a vote on an anti-Russia resolution at the United Nations General Assembly in March on the crisis in Ukraine. During his visit to Algeria in May, Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov said the two countries are preparing a new strategic agreement.
We have confirmed today our mutual interest in preparing a new strategic document between our states, which will mark the passage of cooperation to a higher level.
And now my last question. Will the current crisis between Algeria and Spain move Algiers closer to Moscow?
I definitely hope that the current crisis that was instigated by the EU in order to humiliate another African country that played a historical role in the liberation of the African continent, meaning Algeria, will fail, and that this current crisis, a totally fabricated crisis, will actually let the Algerian government, the Algerian people, and the Algerian leadership actually to definitely turn the page of collaboration with a former colonizer that are actually sinking. They choose actually to go down in the history with the U.S. imperialism. Today, another choice is available for many African countries. And Algeria, like in the past, can show a leadership for many African countries by allying and strengthening their collaboration with the Russian government.
Well, there you have it. The meddling by Western powers will lead many African countries to embrace Russia. That's it for this week's edition of Africa Today. It's always great having you. Goodbye for now.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1920 to 2020 UTC on the following frequencies. 31 meters, 9,855 kilohertz for Europe, and 31 meters, 9,835 kilohertz for Southern Africa, and FM 91.5 megahertz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and IranSat or Bat 5, and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.